at the beginning of the parsha, it says that Yaakov Avinu went to go to sleep. Veikach me'avne ha'mokaim. So the Medrash and the Gemara understands that he took several stones. Me'avne is in the plural. Then when he woke up in the morning, so it says, Veikach ha'evan asher samer asher, so there's one heaven. So the Ibn Ezra and Chumash says he doesn't see that it's a contradiction. Veikach me'avne ha'mokaim. He took one of the avne ha'mokaim. He didn't necessarily take several. But the Gemara presents it as if it's a stira. So the Gemara interprets that the Avonim were fighting with each other. Each one said, Alay Anyach Tzadikas Rosho. And then a miracle occurred and all the stones blended in together. So by the time it came in the morning, it's only one heaven. So the Basilis Sharim, it could be that it's not to be taken literally. It could be... Like the Mesillas Hashem says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The original plan one, there was going to be Adam Arishon, one person. And the rest of the world, there was going to be Mishamish, that one tzaddik. So that's what it means over here, that all of nature yearns to participate in mitzvahs. The whole world was created to be Mishamish Adam Arishon. So all of nature doesn't necessarily mean that it has b'chira chopshis, that the stones have b'chira chopshis and they're fighting with each other. It means the nature of the world is that everything was created in order to be mishamish, the one tzaddik. The Mesillas Hashem quotes a medrash on the pasuk in Koheles, Reyes kol ma'aseihu elokim. So the medrash says on that pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon, he showed him the whole world, and he said, you see this beautiful world? I created the whole world to be mishamish you. Make sure that you do mitzvahs. If you're going to do averis, you're going to be mekalka the whole world. The whole world was created to be mishamish people and do mitzvahs. I remember many years ago, some Gerer Rebbe died. It was a long time ago. Maybe over 60 years ago. I don't know what's going there by the Ger Rebbes, but some, I think the Beis Yisrael, could be by the Beis Yisrael. So they wrote up in the Israeli magazine, the Israeli newspaper, so they put out special editions of magazines, different things from this Rebbe. So they quoted different stories. So they had one story that one of the Chassidim was a cipher, and he told this Rebbe that he's medaktik, that he only uses hides from glatt kosher animals when he shecht the animal. So if it's not glatt kosher, he wouldn't use the hide to write the tefillin and mezuzah sifri Torah on it. The Gemara learns after the pasuk, "Elman tia Torah Hashem eficha min amuta beficha." Whenever you're writing psukim, whenever you're writing divrei Torah, or in the Bayis Shel Rosh, it just has a shin on it. So one letter is also divrei Torah. So whenever you're writing divrei Torah, it has to be a meramuta beficha. It has to be from a kosher animal. A kosher animal means it shouldn't be an elephant, shouldn't be a horse. But even if it's nevelus or trefus, the Gemara said that it's okay. So this chassid said that he personally is machma only glatt kosher. So this Ger Rebbe told him, I think you should do the reverse. The kosher animals, the people are going to eat the meat from the animal, and they'll say a bracha on it, and it'll give them koyach to do avodas Hashem, to daven, to learn, to do mitzvahs. But the nevelus or trefus that we're not going to eat, so they will never participate in avodas Hashem. And all of the world yearns to participate in mitzvahs and avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world to serve the human beings that are doing mitzvahs. So he said, maybe fakert, maybe you should davke be mahadet to use the hides from nevelus or trefus, at least part of the animal will participate in avodas Hashem. Yaakov Avinu had a dream. And later on, years later, the Chumash is going to tell us that Yosef had two dreams. He had one dream, Hashem is Hayarech HaKachavim, and then he had another dream, Amni Malumim. So I remember Abaron Soloveitchik spoke when Aaron Lichtenstein got engaged. So Abaron Soloveitchik spoke. So he said that people have tainus against his brother, against Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik, that his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim, only had one dream. He only dreamt about Torah. And Rabbi Yoshe ben Soloveitchik has Torah and philosophy. Where did the extra dream come from? So he said that was the taina that the brothers had against Yosef. The father, Yaakov Avinu, only had a dream about the malachim, about the heavens, about the very holy things. And the truth of the matter was, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no, the malachim, it was Sulam Utzavartz of Rosh Magia HaShamayim, that both dreams of Yosef were included within the one dream of Yaakov Avinu. The philosophy that his brother studies and speaks about is all part of the same dream. No. It was interesting. It's an interesting. Rabban Soloveitchik was known as a very famous darshan. As I mentioned the other week, that when he would give the parsha shir on Thursday, then an extra 100 students would crowd into the room to listen to the parsha. The different long medrash rabba on the dream, the malachim olam yodim, what is it supposed to represent? How do you interpret the dream? So the Medrash has many different interpretations. So the Gemara in Chulin and Perikid Anoshe gives one of the interpretations. The Malachim were going up to heaven to look at the Kisei HaKavod because they heard that the Musta Yuktan Sheyanko Avinas Chakuka on the Kisei HaKavod. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel that the Kisei HaKavod has four heads on it. The Mus Aryeh, the Mus Nesher, Rosh, the head of a Nesher, Aryeh Kruv Nesher, and Odom. And the Mus Odom is the Mus of Yaakov Avinu. So they wanted to see what is the potential that this individual, Yaakov Avinu, this fellow who's sleeping, how much potential does he have? So they went up to heaven to look at the Mus Yukna Chakuka Al Kisei HaKavod. And then they come back down on the ladder to see if he corresponds to what his potential was. And they see the fellow is sleeping. A person with so much potential is sleeping. I remember when I used to stay in the dormitory here when I was in learning for Smicha. So at that time, hardly anybody learned in the Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash was always empty in the morning, empty at night also. It was always empty. There was hardly anybody learning in Beis Medrash. It's a new phenomenon. We owe a debt of gratitude to the whole system that they set up. Everybody goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael a year or two or three, then they come back. So they got used to learning. But before that system was set up, it wasn't right away with Hakamas HaMedina. It didn't start in 1948. When I was a student here, there was nobody learning in the Beis Medrash. So I used to learn upstairs in the dormitory with my charusa. He had a lot of swarm in his dorm room. We used to learn. So they used to have, at that time, they used to have maids who made the beds. We used to have an Irish woman. She used to live in the neighborhood. I remember when I got engaged and she met me in the street with my collar. So she tells my fiancé, oh, I used to tuck him in every night. She didn't tuck us into bed, but she used to make the beds in the morning. So she used to complain to me and my charusa, she can't make any beds. Everybody's still sleeping till after 1 o'clock in the morning. And they woke up, they moseyed around. They were davening at 12 o'clock. They came to shiur at 1 o'clock. Everything was very lackadaisical. So the malachim saw the dmus diyuktan shel yankva chakuk al kisei HaKavod. They come down and see this man is sleeping. He has so much potential. He shouldn't be sleeping. He should be accomplishing something. So the Gemara says, Bikshu Lahorga. They wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu because he's not living up to his potential. And then the Pasuk continues, V'in Hashem Nitzov Olov. And if you look in the Mefarsh Machumish, there are two ways to interpret Olov. Olov means on the ladder, or Olov means on Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara in Chulin understands, V'in Hashem Nitzov Olov, on Yaakov Avinu to protect him from the Malachim. He tells the Malachim, don't kill him, he's exhausted, he traveled so far. He's exhausted, let him sleep, he has a right to sleep. You're not allowed to sleep extra. The Bala Tanya has a Igeres HaTshuva in the end of the Tanya. So he writes that there are two types of tshuva that are both necessary. One is, people did Avera, so they have to do tshuva. Another one is, they never did Averas, but they never really lived up to their potential. So they have to do tshuva on that as well. So that's what the Gemara interprets, and that's what the Malachim are upset about. I remember when I was a little boy, my family lived in Pennsylvania. I was born in Pennsylvania. Then I went to, after years, we lived in Philadelphia, so the day school in Philadelphia only went to the fifth grade. So for the sixth grade, everyone had to send their children somewhere else. And most of the parents who wanted more Torah education for the children sent them to Baltimore. I was a classmate of Yochanan Zweig, who has his own yeshiva in Miami. I was a classmate of Harry Gornish, I think, who lived in Flatbush. He passed away recently, I think. So so my parents sent me to New York because my grandparents lived in New York, so I stayed by my grandparents. So I remember once my grandmother's brother came, my great uncle came from, they lived in Montreal. My mother was born in Montreal. So my great uncle came from Montreal and to New York for business. And I remember I was a little boy, must have been sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that. So it was Vayetze, Parsha Vayetze. So he says to me, I should tell him a Dvar Torah on the Parsha. So I told him something, Chumash and Rashi, that's not a Dvar Torah. He wants to have a real Dvar Torah. So my father happened to be there. So my father said a Dvar Torah. I say, oh, that's a real Dvar Torah. What did my father say? Avort is a sefer, Peninim Yikorim, on Chumash. He has all the vertlach, all the snappy, all the snazzy vertlach. So he has on the pasuk that Yankov Avinu wakes up in the morning. He says, "Ochen Yesh Hashem Amakam Azev Anochi Lo Yodoyti." So he says, "Ochen I knew, Anochi I didn't. Ochen Yesh Hashem, Ochen I knew. Ochen is a Rashi Teris Arya Kruv Nesher." Yankov Avinu says he knew that there are three heads on the Kisei HaKovod. It says in Yecheskel Arya Kruv Nesher, but Anochi Arya Nesher Kruv Yankov, that my face is there too. Lo Yodoyti. Now he just found out that the Malach went up to look at the Musli Yuknai, and he saw his Musli Yuknai Chakuk al Kisak, but that he didn't know. And that's what my grandmother's brother said. That's a real Dvar Torah. We're so used to Pshetlach every Pesach night by the Seder. So my children went to elementary school, so they would waste so much time on all the Rashi Tevis and all the Gematriyos and all the Pshetlach, utterly ridiculous. Once in a while, if you have 98% real Emes Torah, so 2% Pshetlach and Vertlach is acceptable. The Mishnah says that Gematrias are Parpiros, Lachachmorim Parpiros. It's cutesy, cute things. It's not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Dresh HaSpam. You don't learn out any halachas from Gematrias. The Pnei Yeshua writes on the Gemara Masech HaShabbos, the Gemara, one Tana says, how do you know that there are lamates of us malachas? Because it's Eila Dvarm Shetziv Hashem. So Eila is a gematria Aleph Lamed He is 36. Dvarim is Miut Rabbishnaim is 2. And the Hadvarim, a Hey Haidia, makes it into 3. So 3 and 36 is 39. Bingo. So that's how you have the mocker for lamates of us malachas. Pnei Yeshua says it's only an asmachta, because the Mishnah says that gematrias are paparos lachachman. So Mishnah, the last line in the first Perek in Chagig, and it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam. The Gemara learns out the din stam nezira shloshim yam from the word kodosh yihyeh. Yihyeh b'gematria t'losin ha, the yihyeh is 30. So they quote that the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnai, say that that's not the mocha. You never learn out any din from a gematria. There was Allah HaMoshe Messina, they knew that that was the din. But it's not learned out from a gematria. So people make so many pshetlach. I remember also on this parsha, there's another sefer, has cutesy vertlach. My father happened to have it in the house. I used to look at it. Father had a sefer, a soft cover sefer. It was called Osem Bosem. The name is already, you can tell by the name. It's a cutesy sefer. Osem means a beis ha'itzer, a bosem, a psamim, a collection of psamim, vertlach. So they have on the pasuk, Yaakov Avinu tells his wives, it's time to leave. We have to leave, we have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He says, Roya nechaz p'nei avichem, v'neinu elai kismol shelshom. So the Pashup Shah, we understand that we're not welcome anymore. So in this Osem Bosem, he has a likut of only vertlach, only pshetlach. So he quotes, there's a din of orlo. If you plant a tree, so the first 3 years, even if fruits grow, they're also b'achila and also b'ano. A lot of times fruits will not grow. But even if they do grow, it's also b'achila and also b'ano. The 4th year is a din of revai. So the Gemara has a din. What if you did havroche? I'm not a farmer, I don't understand what this means, but the Gemara talks about havroche. You have a tree, and you pull a branch down into, branch is still attached there, you pull a branch down into the ground, below the ground, and you have it come up a little bit, and another tree is going to grow. Once you just cut it off and plant it, I don't understand. But that's what they did. They did havrocha. So they would take a branch, pull it down in the ground, have it grow. So is that considered a new tree, and you have to count all over again 3 years on this branch? Or do you say, no, it's the hemshech of the old tree? So the halacha says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, if it's still yoinik from the first tree, then it already was yoitzeh the 3 years of arlo. So everything is muta bachila. But if it's no longer yoinik from the first tree, then it's considered as if he cut off the branch, he planted it anew. Then the Gemara says, then Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi. Tosis and Rosh Hashanah quotes Yerushalmi. How are you going to have the Ruach HaKadosh to know whether the new Havracha, Labrech means to kneel, Berach, Berkayim, on knees. So Labrech means you took the branch and you have it kneeling in the ground and it's standing up, so it's like kneeling. So the Yerushalmi says, how do you know if it's still yearning? The Yerushalmi has an expression, Man de'ochel de'lav di'dei, one who's living off of someone else, boy, this takula biap, he's going to be embarrassed to stare him in the face, to look him in the face. So the Yerushalmi says, not only is it true by human beings, it's true by trees as well. That if the new tree, if the leaves are facing the old tree, then it's a siman barur that it's no longer yearning from the old tree. Because if it would still be yearning from the old tree, it would be embarrassed to look at the old tree. So if all the leaves are facing a different direction, then it means that it's still yearning from the old tree. But if it's facing the old tree, it's a siman that it's not being yearning. So that's what in this sefer he quotes in the Oysim Boysim. So he says, that's why he says, Roy ani aspeni avichem, I can stare your father in the face. Until now I was unable to look him in the face because he was taking care of me. I was living off of him. I was a parasite. But now I can look him in the face. Means that he's being yearning for me. I'm not being yearning for him. So all of these pshetach on the psukim, this is all, if you have 98%, if you have 99%, Emissa Torah. So these Pshetlach and these Gematrios and all the Rajatevas are acceptable. But if that's all you have, that's a sad situation. The Pasuk says that when Yankvina woke up, so it says he took a neder. So the Gemara in Yuma, the first Perek, writes, Vayidav Hashem Moshe Lemor. So we usually translate in the King James translations, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Lemor means saying. So today, we would leave out the word Lemor in modern Hebrew. He writes, Vayidav Elokim al Moshe, colon, quotation marks. In the Tanakh, they don't have quotation marks, they don't have a colon. So you put in the word Lemor. So the Gemara said, that's not pshat. Not saying. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Vadabra Hashem al Moshe, Lemor li Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the din to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he gave him permission to share it, and he instructed him to teach it to Bnei Yisrael. And if he wouldn't have told him to share it with Bnei Yisrael, he would have been usher. If I tell you any information, unless I give you explicit permission to tell it over to anybody else, it should be assumed that it should be private. It should be confidential. You're not supposed to tell it to anybody else. I tell you, I'm thinking of quitting YU and joining Landers. Or I'm thinking about divorcing my wife. I don't want the public to know what my plans are. So you're not, and even that's an obvious case, but even if it's not such a situation, whatever I tell someone, it's understood that it's supposed to be confidential unless I give permission. So the Gemara learns it out from the word Lema, Vedam Hashem Moshe Lema, Lema Li Yisrael. The Chavetz Chaim wrote a whole sefer about what you're allowed to talk, what you're not allowed to say. So he talks about Loshon Hara and Rechilas, but he quotes this also, Vedam Hashem Moshe Lema, Lema Yisrael, that whenever someone tells you something, it's understood that it's supposed to be confidential, unless he tells you explicitly. So that's good, every positive, Vedam Hashem Moshe Lema. How do you change to Vayida Yatek, Vayida Yakev Neder Lema? How can you, it means saying. So how else can you translate? So Tosis on the first daf in Chulin quotes a Medrash Bereishis Rabbah on this pasuk. Yaakov Avinu took a neder to teach the future generations that it's a mitzvah lidor be'eis tzorah. The pasuk says in Koheles, Tov asher lo atidor mishetidor veloy tishalem. Some people get aliyahs and they make appeals in the shul, and they pledge a fortune of money, and they don't give the money. So noida beinu mishalem is an avera. So the pasuk says in Kehelas Torah shelo tida mishetida b'letzachon, better not to take the neder in the first mitzvah to take a neder to give tzedakah. But if you're not going to give the tzedakah, then it's going to be a serious avera. So there's a machlekes on the first daf in Chulin. It's in the Dorm. Also the daf. I mean, people are learning the Dorm these days. So there's a third choice. The pasuk only gives Torah shelo tida mishetida b'letzachon. What if he's noida mishalem? So that's a machlekes. So one Tana says, "Tov mizeh mizeh," better than both of those that I mentioned. The one that's mentioned is lo tider and noida b'ein mishan. Tov mizeh mizeh, noida b'mishalim. He takes a ned and he does give. The other Tana says, "No, tov best is never to take any in the dorm because you may forget." So it's a machlekes hatanoim. So Tosis points out on the first daf that machlekes tov mizeh mizeh. Noida mishalem, or no, it's better never to take any in the dorm. So that's quoted on the first daf in Chulim. So the Tosfos says, but if it's an eis tzor, let's say someone is sick, and you're very nervous, so then if you take a neder to give tzedakah, take a neder to do something, that's the proper thing. Mitzvah lida the eis tzor. The machlokes, Rameh, Rabbi Yudah, whether tov mizeh mizeh, tov shenei noida kol ikar, or noida mishalem. But by Be'ez Tzorah, it's a mitzvah leader Be'ez Tzorah, and that will sometimes help you. That's why the Mashgiach, when I was a student in Yeshiva, the Mashgiach had learned in Slabodka. He was from the prominent, from the Chashuvim in Slabodka. So he used to give always a real Musa Dika, Slabodka Dika Droshes. It didn't fit in with our Yeshiva. It didn't fit into the American student, but he lived in a different world. He gave his droshes like as if he was still in Slabodka. So he would always say that on Rosh Hashanah without Kabbalah, you have to have New Year's resolutions. So Rosh Hashanah is an Eis Tzorah. The HaKadosh Baruch is judging the whole world. So mitzvah lida be'Eis Tzorah. So it's a mitzvah to accept Kabbalahs, to make New Year's resolutions. You should make resolutions that within reason. You shouldn't say you're going to learn 400 blot this year. Not so easy to learn 400 blood a year. So if you take a reasonable Kabbalah, after my father-in-law passed away, my father-in-law had learned in the Miri Yeshiva, he had learned by, he was very close to Rabbi Yerucham Lavovitz. After Rabbi Yerucham passed away, then they got Rabbi Chatzka Levenstein to come back from Eretz Yisrael to be the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva. So my father-in-law left already by then. He got married and he left the Miri Yeshiva. But some of those who were there by boat, so they used to, Melitza they had, they used to call Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitz the Bais Rishon, and they used to refer to Rabbi Chatzka Levenstein as the Bais Sheni, a lotion that they had. So my father-in-law was very close to Rabbi Yerucham. So he, every year, we found out after he passed away, he had in the top drawer in his desk, and on the left side, so he had index cards from 25, 35 years. Every year he would write down the Kabbalahs that he would take Rosh Hashanah, on a Kabbalah, Nishkin Rosh Hashanah, because it's an Eis Tzor, it's a mitzvah leader of Eis Tzor. So he would write Kabbalahs, that by next Rosh Hashanah he's going to finish not all of Tanakh. He would pick one or two, one sefer that's reasonable to finish by next Rosh Hashanah. Malachim, or Ishaya, Yechezkel, whatever. Then he would take a Masechta, not Bava Basra, he was busy giving shurim, he taught in Torah Das, busy giving shurim, whatever they're learning in Shiva. He'd take a reasonable Masechta. So he would write a Kabbalah, he's believe that a Kabbalah, but that is going to finish 9 Mikra Vecha Targum every week. He's not going to wake till Simchas Torah and do all the Kola Torah Kula. Every week he plans to do 9 Mikra, to follow the Din and the Gemara, and to learn a Sefer and Tanakh in the course of the year, and to learn a Masechta with 40, 50 blot, not to learn 600 blot in a year. Reasonable Kabbalahs. You're going to take a Kabbalah, it's too difficult, you're going to violate it. So that's what we learn out from this pasuk. Ned the Lema Ledor is to teach the future generations that it's a mitzvah lida b'yeis tzorah. And then when you look in your Yeridah, so they talk to Simonim about HaTorah Snedorim. So I think the Shach quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, if I'm not mistaken, that if a person took a neder beis Torah, it's like he made a bris, he made a deal with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. I pledge to give so much money to Tzedakah, I pledge to lend so many blat Gemara, And in the schus of that pledge, you should give a refuah shleima to somebody. Then it's going to be mataneder. He just made a deal with the Rabban Shlom. You're going to be mataneder. He's going to take away the refuah shleima. You back that from your half of the deal, he can back out. The Sefer Hasidim says it's never right to be mataneder on a neder that you took based on, because that's like a krisis bris. Anyway, that's the Taisus on the first daf from Chulin quotes that those who sit and learn Medrash Rabbah know it from Medrash Rabbah. Those of us who don't sit and learn Medrash Rabbah, so we know it from Taisus. Then the Gemara points out in Ksubis, Kol Shatitin Li Aser Aasren Olach. He's talking about Maisa Ksofim. He's talking about giving tzedakah. He says Aser Aasrenu, double. So the Gemara says that. Twice, Maisa Ksofim is Chomish. So the Gemara says, Hamevazu is Al-Yevazu is Yosim Chomish. You shouldn't give more than 20% of your annual income to Tzedakah Shema Yayonevi, it's Tarach Labrios. Unless you have so much money, you don't know what that person is, a multimillionaire. You have so much money, he's only going to give 20%. He's not going to get poor. If he gives 90%, not going to be poor. So Tosin says the Klal doesn't apply by very, very wealthy people. Then the Shita Mukobetzis points out also in Yeridei, they quote the Yeridei, they don't quote the Shita Mukobetzis, the Chidor and the Birke Yosef on Yeridei quotes the Shita Mukobetzis. Hamevazu Zal Yevazu Yosef Mechaymesh, Shema Yayani, Vitzdark Labrias means only if you're giving the money to the poor. But if you're giving it to support Torah, you're giving it to Yeshivas to support Torah, then you're permitted to give more than Chaymesh. I give way more than Chaymesh. Most of the money that I give to yeshivas. I don't give to anim. You have to give to anim also. But that's when the Gemara learns out from the pasuk. Gemara says, "Bu'usha hiskinu." The Bez Nogodol went to Eser Golias, Kolsa Sanhedrin, in the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara in the last parak in Rosh Hashanah says, at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Gemara shows from the Psukim that the Shechina left the Kodesh HaKadoshim in stages, in ten steps. The Shechina left in ten steps. First it left from on top of the Kruvim, left to a different location, then to a different location. Then it went until it finally went back up to the seventh heaven. And Kenegdon, at the end of the Baisheni period, so 40 years before the Churban Baisheni, the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed exile because they saw they can't control, they can't maintain peace and order. The job of the Bezin is to maintain peace and order. Melech b'mishpat yamin eretz, the job of the government is to maintain peace and order. And there were many murderers, Jewish murderers, unfortunately. So they felt it's not right. They have no right to sit in the Lishkas Hagozes to have the title of being members of the Bez Nagadol if they're not able to control crime. So they resigned. So the Bez Nagadol moved out of the Lishkas Hagozes. And once they're no longer Lishkas Hagozes, the Gemara says, you can't be dandid in the Foshas anymore. And then the Gemara says, Eser Golias Kol Sanhedrin. After they left Yerushalayim, then they went to Yavne, then they went to Usha, Shvarim, Tiberias, Tzipori, different cities, all in the Galil. And then the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes it also, that when Eliyahu Novi is going to come the day before Mashiach, that's how the Gemara in Erevin understands that Pesuk in Hine Anecha Shalech Lechem is Eliyahu Novi. So the Gemara understands it's me the day before Mashiach comes, that's the Magor Vanar, Eliyahu Navi will come to the Sanhedrin, and he will tell the Sanhedrin tomorrow in the Melech HaMashiach, well, he's going to identify who he is. So the Gemara says, when the Bez Nagor will reconvene, where are they going to reconvene? Which city? What location? The Gemara says, like every day. Every day, when the Bez Nagor was functioning, there would sit in the Lishkas Hagozes all day long, then they would go home. Then the next morning they would daven, and then they would come back to the Lishkas Hagozes. So now there's a pause of 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 years, wherever the last location was, somewhere in the Galil, whenever the last location was where they met. So they haven't met for 2,000 years, and all of those people passed away, and they're different Talmid HaChachamim. So you have to pick the 71 biggest Talmid HaChachamim in the generation, and they will reconvene in the last location. So that's why in the 1500s, that's why Ruba de Ruba of the Rabbanim lived in Sfat. They didn't live in Yerushalayim. Even though the Mishnah, then the Ksuba says a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the capital, so you should build up the capital. But nonetheless, Ruba the Ruba of the Rabbanim did not live in Yerushalayim. They lived in Tzfat. Why? So there are two reasons. One reason Alpi Nigla, one reason Alpi Nista. So the reason Alpi Nigla, because the water was polluted and Yerushalayim wasn't healthy. The water in Tzfat was healthy. And then the other reason Alpi Nista was because they thought after the expulsion, the Spanish expulsion in 1492, and then from Portugal 1496, wherever it was, so they all, many of them ran away to Eretz Yisrael. That's when Tzfas was built up. So they thought Mashiach is going to come right away. It has to be Mashiach. Such suffering. They thought they already had the aggravation of the Yemos HaMashiach. So they were hoping that Mashiach is going to come, and they wanted to be there to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. So they thought, the Gemara says that Bez Nagon is going to reconvene in the same location where they met last. All the last cities were all in Galil. So that's why they met there. And several years ago when Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz convened the Sanhedrin, so they convened somewhere in the Galil. They reconvened in the Galil somewhere based on that Gemara. Steinsaltz was the chairman of the Bez Nagol, and he said he'd be happy to give up his position. Please come, someone else come take over. Nobody took over. So they met a few times, and they gave a few psokim. The psokim were very reasonable, very nice. Very nice psokim. So the Gemara says, Bu'usha hiskinu. When the Bez Nagorl was in Usha, one of the Esegoliyas, so they made this takana. Then the Gemara explained, this was always an old halacha. It wasn't the takana the Rabbanan Bu'usha hiskinu. It was forgotten, and then they just reinstituted it. But this was an old din before the Bez Nagorl was in Usha. So that's the pasuk, Aser Asrenu Loch. I'm going to give once my six sofim and a second time my six sofim. I'm going to give Chaimish. The Chafetz Chaim has a little sefer, Abbas Chesed, I think. So in the sefer Abbas Chesed, he talks about giving tzedakah. So he talks about there's a stira in the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos in one place, and the Mishnah Torah in the other place. One place the Rambam says you should give l'chatchila Chomesh. The other place, the Rambam says, normal, not l'chatchila. L'chatchila, give ma'isa if you can afford it. Some people don't make enough, they can't even give ma'isa ksofim. You don't earn enough, so you don't give ma'isa ksofim. That's an average. That's assumed that a normal person makes a normal parnasa, so the normal amount to give is ma'isa ksofim. That's a machlekes and achrenim also. Ma'isa, one-tenth of what? One-tenth of your total income, or one-tenth of how much money you have left after you already paid for the basics of living. You subtract the money that you need for food and clothing and rent and education for your children, and then you have leftover money. So you give ma'isa ksofim from what's left over, or you give ma'isa ksofim from your total amount. So that seems to be a machlokes achronim, because the earlier achronim have a complaint, some of the early achronim have a complaint that the Jews are mezalzel. They're not giving ma'isa ksofim. The later achronim say, what do you mean? They're giving way more than ma'isa ksofim. So the later achronim say, what's the machlokes? So they say the earlier achronim thought that you're supposed to give ma'isa ksofim on your total income. So they complain the Jews are not giving ma'isa ksofim on the total income. The later achronim held, you only have to give ma'isa ksofim on the amount of money that's left after you take off withholding tax. Well, I think all the poskim hold withholding tax is considered if you didn't earn it. That they all agree. But the later achronim hold, you have to take off also food and clothing and rent and tuition, all the necessities of life. Then when you have money left over, then you give ma'isa ksofim. So the Jews get, everybody gives more than ma'isa ksofim. So that was the machloikis. Whether you give ma'isa ksofim on the full earnings or on what's left after you spend a little bit. So then the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak told him he should go to get a shidduch in Aram Naharaim. So he went and he sees that in the middle of the day, the shepherds are ready to call quits. They're going to give the animals to drink and then they're going to go to sleep. So he wants to give them mussar. They're cheating on the boss. They're supposed to graze the animals in the field for longer. So he doesn't. Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky has a sefer on Chumash, has an interesting style of interpretation. So he says on the pasuk, he doesn't bop them over the head. You're gazlonim, you're cheating the boss, you're not putting in a full day's work. First he says, Achai, me'ayin atem. Achai, How was it? I remember once I was on a plane coming back from Eretz Yisrael. So I sat down in my seat, and what's his name? Karlbach. Well, what was Karlbach's name? Shlomo. Shlomo Karlbach comes into the plane. He didn't know me from Adam. Brother! Comes up. That's all he used to say. My brother used to say to women also. but he used to say, brother, I'm such a chiba and I'm, oh, oh. So that's what young women says, Achai, may I not have a whole conversation. And then he gives him the musar at the end. First, if you're going to talk down to the person, you're going to say, you're a gazlan, you're a murderer, you're cheating the boss. He's not going to listen. He gives musar, he's not going to listen. You have to first show the person that you're friendly with them. Not that you're looking down on them on a higher level, you're on a lower level. I'm on the same level as you, and we should all work it out together. It's an interesting idea in giving Musa. And then he asks them, may I not them say, Mechor and Anachnam? They say, oh, you come from Mechor? Hayidatem is Lovin ben Nochor. So what was his name? Lovin ben Nochor. His name was Lovin ben Besuel ben Nochor. So you see from that pasuk that B'nai Bonim Hareim Kibonim. That's quoted Lalacha. B'nei Bonim Hareihem Kibonim. We have that sometimes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. You call up a person to an aliyah, so you say, Ploini ben Ploini. Ploini ben Ploini. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if the son is embarrassed because his father is a gangster, his father's sitting in prison, so he's embarrassed to be called up by the father's name. So you call him by the grandfather's name. Ploini, unless they called him up for years in the father's name, and now you're going to start calling him by the grandfather's name, then that'll be the embarrassment. So you just keep on calling him by the father's name. But if the first time he gets an aliyah, he's embarrassed with the father, so you call him out, and they bring the rai from Lavan Ben Nochar, from this pasuk. You see in the Chumash, they've been a banim harayim kibanim. So he finally reaches Choron, and he makes a deal with Lavan, he's going to work at Avotcha, Shevashana, Barachel, Bitchaktan. It's going to work for 7 years. And then instead of Rachel, he gives him Leah. So he says, it's Kiddush Etois, what you pull a fast one on me? So Lavan says, Lo Yosachem Ukamein, Alosis Hatsira Lefne Habachim. So Tosis in Kiddush and quotes that Posik, and they say, that's Taka, the proper. We should, one can think that that's what Lavan said. So we're learning Adinim from Lavan. So Taisa says, no, that is the Derech Eretz. So Taisa has a Shaila, Aloha Lamaisa. The din is of Mekabel Kiddushin. The father can marry off his daughter when she's a Ktana and a Naira up until the age of 12 and a half. When she becomes the Bogeret, she'd be Shus Avia. So what's the din? A man had two daughters, and a Chosin wanted to marry one of them, and he didn't say which one. He said, Habitach Mekudesh, and the father says, good, I'm asking. He takes the ring. So which one is married? So Tosfos says, and Tosfos has a discussion, a kiddushin. Even though they didn't specify which one, but it's self-understood that it's the older daughter. This is a big question. Is that really, it's absolutely not proper? One fellow, Achsidushev, he told me he's the head of a koilol somewhere in Flatbush, some Chassidish a koilol. So he has eight children, I think he told me. So he has a daughter who's already 21, and he has a son who's 22. So the son is older than the daughter, but the girl is 21. Girls usually get married younger than the boys. So the girl wants to get married. She wanted to get married already the last couple of years. And the father doesn't let her get married. She has to wait for the older brother has to get married first. Is that right? So the daughter was sneaking behind her father's back and she was dating a boy for the last 3 years. So that's a little silly on the father's part. You don't always insist on Loyosachem Kamein. It's going to come out the Pirtzah. So it's stupid. You have to use Seichel. So that's what Lavan said. Why is Malish Vazos? So the Gemara says, maybe we should learn out from here the din, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. During the Shivas Yimei HaMishta for the first wife, for Leah, she shouldn't get married to Rachel. So the Gemara said, the Yerushalmi said, we don't learn out from Koyde Matan Torah, learn out dinim from Acha Matan Torah, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says. In the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are dinim. What Lavan says, not necessarily. That's why it's not necessarily just coming. Lovan Avinu said that. So we don't necessarily learn out from that pasuk. So the same Alish was us. But there is a din like that. Emarad Simcha b'Simcha. The Rambam writes, when he quotes this din, Emarad Simcha b'Simcha, he says, Nosi Adim Kama Noshem B'Yom Echad. He can marry 18 wives on the same day, as many as you want. But he has to be a Mesayach with each one Simcha Haruyullah. You can't be Yotze, Shivas Yom HaMish to superimpose one on top of the other. You have to spend 7 days celebrating with... He married all 18 wives under the chuppah, with one bracha. He needs 18 rings, but he only doesn't have to say so many brachas. Let's say you're doing a bris on twins. So many poskim say one bracha. Why should it be going bracha shen etzricha make a hefsik? The meaning all over, meaning by most people is that you make a hefsik. You do one bris, and then the father says a dvar Torah, then you do the other bris, and many poskim hold that it's going bracha shen etzricha. Could have covered the two brisen with one bracha before and one bracha after. Why should you say extra bracha? So let's say the guy gets married to a whole bunch of wives, bevasachas. But then the Rambam says, ein marmit simcha b'simcha. There's no issa to marry all the 18 wives on one maimed echad, but it's uvevat sheyismach on kolach simcha aruyala. You have to spend the first 7 days shivas mamishta for the first wife, then the next 7 days shivas mamishta for the second wife, and so on. You have to, that's Eim Arab and Simcha B'Simcha. You can't have the same days should be Ola Lakan or Lakan for Shivas Mamishta for the two wives. That's not right. Eim Arab and Simcha B'Simcha is also Ein Osim Noshim B'Moid. You're not allowed to get married on Chalamoid. That's a Din D'Oraisa. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. That's only a Din D'Rabbanan. Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. But you're not allowed to get married on Yontov or Chalamoid. That's a Din D'Oraisa. Ein Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Rabban HaChumash raises an issue. The Gemara has in a few places, Kim Avam Avinu Kol HaTor Kulat Shalei Nitno. We had it in last week's sermon, I think. Eikar Shasham Avraham Bikolei Vayishmar Mishmati Mitzvosai Chukasai V'Sorasoi. Avraham Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvahs. Shasham Avraham Vayishmar Mitzvosai Chukasai V'Sorasoi. And the Gemara comments on the word Eikiv, that Afilo Eruv Etchumen, Afilo some say Eruv Echatzeres, somehow it is Mekayim, even the mitzvahs, the Rabbanan. How did he know all the dinim, the rice, all the dinim, the Rabbanan? Kodesh Baruch Hu just, he knew the seven mitzvahs ben Enoch, and he was told about Bris Mila. How did he figure out what the other mitzvah, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell him? So the Medrash said he had kloyos yoatzos. He could figure out, he was somehow intelligent, he was able to figure it out on his own. The Midrashim say, and the Zohar says, and the Midrashim say, the beginning of Bereshis, Bereshis Bar Lakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and he created the world based on the Torah. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. So I remember when I was a little boy in elementary school, so they give you homework. You should make a blueprint of your apartment, of your home. We used to live in a home in Philadelphia where I had two stories. So we had to draw out the whole plan, how big each room is and everything. Make a blueprint. So if the Torah is a blueprint of the world, so if you look at the world, you should be able to figure out what it says in the blueprint. So Avraham Avinu looked into the world and he was able to figure out all the mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that it should be reasonable to observe the mitzvahs, and even the din of the Rabban, all the din of the Rabban, and also called the Tikkun Rabban came there. I said Tikkun, said the din of the Rabban also are based on ideas that exist in the Chumash, based on ideas in the Torah. So he was able to figure everything out. So the Ramban and Chumash assumes not only Kim, Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, probably Yitzchak and Yaakov also. So he's bothered with the question, how does Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? If Kim, Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, why didn't Yaakov Avinu do the same? How did he marry two sisters? The Ramban comes up with this famous answer. Ramban was a very big Zionist. So he comes up with the answer, the Ikam Bokam for Shmiras HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So Kim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, it only made sense to volunteer the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz LaOretz, all the mitzvahs that we do, The mitzvah santlius baritz only apply in Eretz Yisrael min haTorah. The agricultural mitzvah is only with the Rabbanon. Or lebchutz loretz is a machloikas. If you plant the tree, so the first 3 years you're not allowed to eat the pear. So that's a machloikas in the Gemara, whether that's the Rabbanon or lebchutz loretz, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Most Rishonim assume that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And Arotzes Hasmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael, the countries in Chutzlot that border on Eretz Yisrael, some of the Rabbanon, you have to be mafresh Trumas and Maises there. But even the non-agricultural mitzvah, even Chobis Aguf, the Chobis Karka agricultural mitzvah, please, only apply in Eretz Yisrael Min HaTorah. But even the Chobis Aguf that apply all over the world Min HaTorah, but it's only a secondary level of significance. The Yigash Shmiras HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. So Kodem Atan Torah, that there was no tzivui at all, so it only makes sense, that's the Ramban says, it only made sense to observe the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, Ravina married the two sisters in Chutzlav, then he came back to Eretz Yisrael, so he said that's why one of the sisters had to die. So Rachel died. We usually assume Rachel died because Yaakov Avinu gave a curse. He said someone stole the trophim. He didn't know that Rachel stole the trophim. So Lavan chased after him. He's trying to figure out who stole the trophim. So Yaakov Avinu says, look, and he didn't find it. So he says, he gave a curse. Whoever stole the trophim should die. So the Pashto says, the Klala was by mistake. He cursed his own wife. She should drop dead. He didn't realize that Rochav is the one who stole the trophim. So Pashto Pshat is because Kilas Chacham, or the Medrash says, the Gemara has an idea, Bavone Dorim Ishta Shalada Mesa, based on a pasuk in Koheles. If a husband takes Nedorim, he pledges to give it stock and he doesn't give the money, so Bavone Dorim Ishta Mesa. So the question is, Avonador means you took a neder, you never fulfill it. What if you violate Balti Acher? You fulfill a neder, but you fulfilled it the way after you should have. So that's a question. That's a question. If a person violates Balti Acher, Balti Acher means that that's the zman of the neder. I took a neder to give $100,000 to tzedakah, and I take my time. I don't give it within Sholosh Regalim. So is that shear of Sholosh Regalim, is that the shear, unless you said explicitly, you got to pay it out over 5 years. But if you didn't say, then the Chumash says, that's the Zman for Kiyam HaNeder, and if you delay, then it's considered Al Pidin as if you didn't fulfill a Neder. But they say, no, you should have given it within a year, and you didn't. So you violated about the Acher, but the Neder, you are Mekayim. So that's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Ramban interprets the Gemara. The Gemara says, as a Mitzvah Tishma V'yasis Ganatad L'Sham Kasha Dibarta V'Ficha, as I say. I forgot the Pasuk already. By Nidre Mitzvah, it says the Din Lo Sachal L'Sham Yeah, Lo Sach Kikorit Yidrushen L'Sham Kecha Hoya B'Chochet. I think the Pasuk is Hoya B'Chochet. So the Gemara has a comment, b'chochet v'lo b'ishtochochet. What does that mean? So the Ramban said, that's what it means. If you violate Bal Ta'acher, it'll be your avera. But the idea that the Gemara learned that from the Pasuk in Koheles, that's if he's not mekayim the neder at all. But if he postpones and he violates Bal Ta'acher, it's not like the Rambam wrote that if you violate Bal Ta'acher, you violated the neder. No. If you violate Bal Ta'acher, the wife will not die. But the Medrash says not so. The Medrash is against that Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah. The Medrash says, why did Rachel die when they came back to Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban says, because they came back to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, they're supposed to volunteer. As an Eina Mitzvah, they're supposed to volunteer not to observe all the dinim in the Torah. So one of the wives had to die, so Rachel died. So the Medrash says the reason why she died was because Yaakov Avinu delayed fulfillment of the neder. He took a neder, heaven as a santa matzav yeh beis alakim, and he didn't make it as a beis alakim yet. He delayed fulfilling his neder. So that's why Baba Nedar Mishta Shalod Meis. So that's That's a whole discussion. So again, so the Ramban says the ikam mokam for shmiras kala mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Rashi on the pasuk in Kriyat Shema who says about the meir me'al ha'aretz haTorah, you'll Hakadosh Baruch Hu will chase us out of Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, the end of Ha'yoyim Shamaya. So Rashi and Chumash quotes from this Sifrei that even when you go to Chutz Lort, you should still continue to observe the mitzvahs of Tefillin and Mezuzah in order that you shouldn't forget. So when the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, they won't be chadoshim be'enechem. We will remember the way we like tefillin and chutzlot, the way we put up mezuzah, so we'll continue to do the same in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a peladik Rashi. What do you mean? Rashi, that was Rashi's girsa in the Sifrei, that tefillin and mezuzah in chutzlot is just that the, when we return back to Eretz Yisrael, ikam mokam for shmiras tefillin and mezuzah is only in Eretz Yisrael. But we should observe the mitzvahs in the Torah, mitzvah in the Torah. We should continue to lay tefillin and use mezuzah and chutz lord so that when we come back to our soul, it shouldn't be chadosh me'enechem. Why? No. It's a chayvus haguf. It's not even a Torah chutz lord. What did the Medrash say? What does Sifrei, not a Medrash, what does Sifrei say? Shouldn't be chadosh me'enechem. So they quote him in Vilna Gaon, that he thinks that there's a Torah Sefer, that it shouldn't say Tefillin and Mezuzah, it should say Trumas and Maisras. But the print that made it Rosh HaTevis, Trumas and Maisras is Tov Vav Mem. So then one of the later printers wanted to do us a favor, so he spelled out the Rosh HaTevis, and he spelled it out incorrectly. So instead of writing Trumas and Maisras, he wrote Tefillin and Mezuzah. Yeah, but that fits into the Pasuk. The Pasuk talks about Tefillin and Mezuzah. Says about the veir mal horat hatoyva. Then it says, "Kshat malosu aydech vayda tavis benecha chsaft mamzud beisach v'sherecha." Fits in better. This Sifrei's comment. If it's not a Torah sefer, from the pasuk it seems that the correct gears is tefillin and mezuzah. We should continue to observe tefillin and mezuzah even a chutz lord. True, it's men haTorah, but the ikam mokam for shmiras kol hamitzvos is really in Eretz Yisrael. That's this Ramban. Ramban says that ikam mokam for shmiras kol hamitzvos. It's really in Eretz Yisrael. They say that Rav Nevinzal, once in a while he used to come to Chutz Lortz, a wedding in the family or something. So when he would be going back to Eretz Yisrael, so if he had a brera either to Davin Mincha in Chutz Lortz or to get back to Eretz Davin Mincha there, so he would choose the Davin Mincha in Eretz Yisrael. Or you can say Kiddush Levon in Chutz Lortz or wait till tomorrow night and say Kiddush Levon in Eretz Yisrael. So he would rather prefer to do the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael because that's what the Ramban says, that the Ikam Mokam for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos is really in Eretz Yisrael. Some of the Achronim say the Rambam also probably thinks like that. Because the Ramban has a Hasoga on the Rambam. Rambam gives his Sefer Mitzvah, he gives you the list of what he considers the 248 mitzvahs, says 365 mitzvahs, Loisese. So the Ramban has Hasogas. The Rambam forgets, he deletes a whole bunch of mitzvahs that the Rambam counts and he replaces them with other mitzvahs. So one of the mitzvahs that the Rambam claims the Rambam forgot to list is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So some Achrenim say the Rambam holds that it's only with the Rabbanon. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only with the Rabbanon. That's very difficult. That's very difficult. Pashtus is it's a mitzvah not there. They're psukim all over the place. How can I say it's only with the Rabbanon? So some Achrenim say the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah because that's like an enhancement of every mitzvah. That when you observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, it's a deeper degree of observance of Shabbos. When you lay tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, when you observe kashas, when you observe taras hamishpacha, all of the 630 mitzvahs, the ikam mokam shmiras kol mitzvahs that's in Eretz Yisrael. So you don't have to count that as a separate mitzvah. If we should live in Eretz Yisrael. That's a mitzvah klalis. That's a prat within every mitzvah. Every mitzvah is enhanced if you observe it in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is called the Palton Shamelch, it's the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ikam Mokam for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos is going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Ramban, has like that. Marami Prague has a commentary on Pirish Rashi Al HaTorah, has a lot of form. He has a commentary called Gur Aryeh. So in the Gur Aryeh he gives a different answer on this question. he says that it only makes a kodem matan Torah. You're not mechuyev to observe all the rest of the mitzvah. So it's only ena mitzvah v'yosei volunteering. So it only makes sense to be ena mitzvah v'yosei on a mitzvah sasei, where there's a kiyum. On a mitzvah sloisase, it doesn't make sense to be to volunteer. So here we're talking about an iser, not to marry shtei achoyes. Not a mitzvah, we're talking about an aveira. Shtei achoyes is an iser koris, it's an erva. But if it's koidem matan Torah, and you're volunteering, so it doesn't make sense to volunteer a loisase. You're not volunteering anything. It makes sense to volunteer. And ain't a mitzvah, yes, it makes sense to volunteer a mitzvah. That's the Gur Arye, the Maralmi Prague, and others say that that's the Teretz of Tosis Kasha. Tosis in Brochus, and in the end of Nida, Tosis is bothered with a Kasha. And the Rashba and the Rabbi Natam give different answers on the Kasha. And the Maralmi Prague and others give this as the answer, that the Gemara says when you bury the mason with Tachrichim, you have to put on tzitzis on a tachrichim, because if you don't put on tzitzis, it's loig l'rosh cheref ha'segum. You're demonstrating that the poor man is dead and he's not able to fulfill mitzvahs anymore. So you should put on tzitzis, so not to be mevayish the mason. Loig l'rosh, if you make fun of the poor man is the dead person, cheref ha'segum, as if you're cursing God. So the kasha is that there's a braisa that says that part of it is in the Mishnah, part in the Braisa, that if you have something that has shatnas in it, you can't use it yourself, but you can use it as tachrichim to bury a mace. How can you bury a mace with tachrichim? What will happen to the dinner of loig rosh cheref ha'segum? So Rashbam gives an answer, Rabbi Natan gives a different answer, and they're arguing with each other which answer is correct. Nafkamina halacha l'maisa. So the Maralmi Prague and others give a different answer. The mason are not mechuyev to observe mitzvahs. So you're going to put on tzitzis as an enem mitzvah v'yosa. Okay, so a mitzvah says it makes sense to talk about enem mitzvah v'yosa. A shatnas is not a mitzvah, it's an aveira. So an aveira, there is no concept of enem mitzvah v'yosa. So it doesn't make sense to be makbid not to put shatnas on a mace. Why not? Averas are mutam. So those are the famous answers. The Ramban's answer, Alkam Yankam Nasa Shtei Achoyas, and the Gurari's answer, that the enem mitzvah v'yosa only applies to mitzvah sasei. Then in recent years, everybody says over, Avdavala Soloveitchik had his own answer. So he says, the whole prohibition of Achas Ishta is only if you're married to the first one. If you're not married to the first one, let's say I was living with a girl, and then I never married her, we were living together, and then I decide to marry her sister. So that's permissible. Noisim Alu Anusim, that's the name of a perek, you're permitted to marry. Whenever it's an Issa that has to do with marriage, not allowed to live with your, not allowed to marry your mother-in-law, not allowed to live with your mother-in-law. That's only if the mother-in-law is married to her husband. Let's say they're just living together, they're not married. So that noisim ala nuso, ala mafuta. She's not my mother-in-law. Mother-in-law is. She's the mother of my wife. That's a bad example. Let's say daughter-in-law. My son is having an affair with a girl. It's not permitted to marry the girl because my son is not married to them. So Avavala Soloveitchik said there is a concept of Ishus Bnei Noach, but Ishus Bnei Noach is not the same as Ishus Yisrael. It's a different type of Ishus, totally different kind. By Bnei Noach, the Gemara said there's no such thing as Erisin, and Nisuin is no Kiddushei Kesef, and Shtar is only Kiddushei Bia, and right away it's the Ishus. There's not Erisin and Nisuin, everything is different. A lot of things are different. Avavala said, in order to have an Iser, not to marry Shtei Achoyes, it only applies if you have Ishus Yisrael with the first wife, then you're not allowed to marry the second one. But Kodem Matan Torah, even though the others volunteered to observe Kol HaTorah Kula, but there was no Ishus Yisrael, they weren't Jewish, it was Ishus Bnei Noach. So that's why there's no Iser. That's why Avavala explained the following. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus, that when a couple gets married, they're in fulfillment of the mitzvah ki yikach chishisha. The Rambam holds that that's a mitzvah. Not all the Rishonim agree. The Rosh in the beginning of the Suvis thinks that it's not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. You're not allowed to live with a girl without marrying her. So you have to get married first in order to fulfill a mitzvah, peri berivya. But getting married per se is not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. So the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam says, we say the bracha. Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah that the Chosn is supposed to recite Oy V'Lasi Yosem before he marries a girl like every other Birchas HaMitzvah, Oy V'Lasi Yosem. So the Rosh argues with the Rambam. He presents the sheet of the Bali HaTosfos. The Bali HaTosfos say like that. Bali HaTosfos held that the bracha of Birchas Erusin, many Bali HaTosfos held the bracha should dafka be recited la'achar asiyosim. It's a bracha on the chaloisish, not a bracha on Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah, you have to recite ovel asiyosim. But if he's saying a bracha on the chalois, he should say, first wait till you do the chaloisishus. First you get married, and then you say the bracha. So the Rosh proves that the Bali HaTosfos are right, that it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Because if you don't say the bracha, Shekinishana b'mitzvah, Yisabitzivana l'kadesh, so you should, we say, Shekinishana b'sosav, Mitzivana al ha'royas, Vasolanas harusas, Vitamnas ha'suas, a whole arichas. What are we telling a whole arichas for? So obviously the Rosh says, the Birchas Shevach v'hidoy. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us all these wonderful mitzvahs, but it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah over the mitzvah of getting married. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik came to defend the Rambam. So he said, no, the Rambam holds that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah and the mitzvah of getting married. The Rambam counts Lisa Yishev B'Ksuba B'Kiddushin. It's one of the Ramach mitzvahs I say. But the Rambam says you only recite a bracha over a mitzvah that the Jews are mechuyev to do. Shekedashana b'mitzvah Yisav Tzivonu. If it's a mitzvah, if it's something that we share in common with the Goyim, so you can't say Kedushana b'mitzvah Yisav Tzivonu. So the institution of marriage exists by the non-Jews as well. They have a din of Eishesish, they have Ishus. But their Ishus is different from the Jewish Ishus. So since Ishus Yisrael is different from Ishus B'nei Noach, so it does make sense to say Asher Kedushana b'mitzvah Yisav Tzivonu, because it's a unique form of Ishus that the Umas Olam don't have. So we mention in the bracha some of the differences between Ishus Yisrael and Ishus B'nei Noach. So say, Tzivonu al ha'arayos, the list of prohibited relatives is longer by us than by the Umas Olam. There's an institution of Beris and Nisuin. By the Umas Olam, you don't have that. You only have Bulas Bal Yesh Lahem Nichnas Eluchup Niva Lo Ein Lahem. So that's Rav Elbel explained. He answered the Rosh's kasha. The Rosh brought this as a proof that the Birchas Erusin is a Birchas Shevach. That's what Tosfos said, Birchas HaShevach, and you should say it L'Acher Asiyosam. When you hear lightning, when you hear thunder, or you see lightning, you don't say the bracha in advance. When you see the Swiss Alps, when you see a big ocean, whenever you see all the things Birchas HaRoya, you always say the bracha L'Acher Asiyosam. Birchas Shevach V'Hidoy is recited L'Acher Asiyosam. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos hold, that the Birchas Erusin should be recited L'Acher Asiyosam, after Mekadosh Deish. We are machmet to satisfy both opinions, so we say the bracha Birchas Erusin before. Because according to the Rambam writes, if you didn't say the bracha Evel Asiyosam, then you're going to say it later. The Rambam writes, Masha Nasa Kvar Nasa, Fafal Nari, he already did the mitzvah. You can't say a bracha L'Acher Asiyosam. So according to the Rambam, if you want to do it like Tosfos, say the bracha after the Kiddushin, we'll be saying a bracha L'Matolam. According to Tosfos, if you say the bracha before, it's kooky. The Birchas Shevach V'Hidoy is always recited L'Achar, but you Yotze B'Di'evet, so we choose to say the bracha before to satisfy the both opinions. So that's Rav Elbel explained, that the Rosh's Taina, the proof that he brought that the Birchas Erusin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, is not so strong. Maybe we're spelling out the difference between Ishus Yisrael and Ishus B'nei Noach. And the Rambam says you only say a Birchas HaMitzvah if it's a mitzvah that only applies to the Jews. Many say that's why you don't say a bracha if you give tzedakah. The Rishonim discuss how come there's no bracha recited when you give tzedakah. So they give different explanations. So the Rambam sounds like he says you only recite brachas and mitzvahs that are only for the Jewish people. Kitshana b'mitzvah yisav tzivano. True, the goyim are not mechuyev to give tzedakah. Some say goyim are mechuyev to it. Zaran and Sanhedrin talks about that. Laset tzedakah mishpot. The Manasha is one of his base of Lechaz B'derech Hashem says to do tzedakah mishpat on non-Jews also. So it could be that they go in my mechuyev in tzedakah, even if they're not mechuyev, but they give tzedakah. So that's why it doesn't make sense that we should say bracha on that. So why do we say bracha on marriage? The answer is because our marriages are different. Ishus Yisrael is a different kind of Ishus. Not the same as Ishus B'nei Noach. So, Amalek appears to Yaakov Avinu. He tells him it's time to leave, pack up your things, and go back to Eretz Yisrael. So he didn't notify the father-in-law. He thought Laban is going to give him a hard time. So he snuck out. And then Lavan found out that they all left, so he chased after him, he catches up with him, and he complains, why did they lamarach beisa levraich? Why did you hide? Why didn't you let me know? And I would have made a big tzeischem l'shanam asha aleichucha b'simcha uv'shirim b'tofu v'chinar. He would have made a whole farewell party. So in the Sefer Orz Arua is the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, the end of the tkuf of the Balei HaTosfos, went on for quite a few generations. So the Orz Arua points out that this pasuk is the mocker for the idea of Malava Malka. When we bid farewell to the Shabbos, they should have a party to show how chashuv it was that we celebrated Shabbos, that we have a party even on Matzoi Shabbos. So in the Rambam, it sounds like Malava Malka is part of Kibbut V'yoinik, quote Shabbos, Machabes Shabbos, by making a farewell party. And the Rambam writes that Kibbut V'yoinik applies not only to Shabbos, it applies to Yontov as well. From the Gemara, would appear not so in a few places. The Gemara would appear that Kibbut V'yoinik is only on Shabbos, not on Yontov. Karasa the Shabbos, Yonik, Kadosh Hashem, Mechuban. Pasuk says Shabbos, but the Rambam says everything from Shabbos carries over to Yontov. Beis Halevi points out in the Tshuvas that Rambam is against the Gemara, but somehow the Rambam was more accepted than the Gemara. So somehow it's, everybody knows you have all the four mitzvahs applied to Yontif as well as Shabbos. So that's why they quote that Rav Delvel the Soloveitchik and the Chazon Ish a lot. They used to have Malav and Malkam and Tzoy Yontif also. So some thought maybe only Sholosh Shagodim. So no, why should it only be Sholosh Shagodim? It should be Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also. You should really have, it's not a Malav and Malka, the Shabbos and Malka. But a suda, a farewell dinner based on Vashalechucha b'simcha b'shirma v'tofa v'chinar. When you make a farewell party, when someone moves to Eretz Yisrael, so the community makes a farewell party because they appreciated the fact that this individual lived in their community and they're bidding a farewell. They're going to miss him. So that's what Malava Malka is all about. So then when Lavan is angry, why'd they steal his trophim? And they search all over and they didn't find anything. So Rachel was sitting on the trophim. So the father was looking all over. Lavan was looking, I didn't find anything. So she apologizes to the father, she's not going to get up. He's going to get up, he's going to find the trophim there. She's sitting on the trophim. So she apologizes, says, Kederach Noshim Li. She says that she had a period now and she's not feeling well, she's not comfortable. The mama, she said an outright lie. So they quote from the Vilna Goyen. A comment on the pasuk that there's a Mishnah Masechah Shabbos that Rabbi Elazar Matamik in Ida. There's a din with the Rabbanon based on a pasuk in Novi that Rabbi Elazar, and in our Torah there's no such thing, but with the Rabbanon, Rabbi Elazar is Matamik like an Isha Nida. So that's why she said, Kederach Noshim Li, she said, she meant to say, I have the Rabbi Elazar here. I'm sitting on the Rabbi Elazar. But she said it, Beloshan HaChachamim, I'm a Nida. Because Rabbi Elazar Matamik in Ida. Avoid from the Vilna Gaon, that she didn't tell an outright lie. So then when Yaakov Avinu confronts Lavan, he says, you looked my whole household, you didn't find anything, so what do you give me such a hard time? I was such a faithful employee for you. In the daytime, a lot of times it was freezing. The kerach baloilo, chorev is heat, and a lot of times at night it was freezing. So he says he was working be'emuna for him. He was a shepherd for love, and he was very devoted. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk in Bar Metzia that there's a difference between a shamachinim and a shamasochar. Let's say, for example, I go away for the summer and I rent my apartment out to someone else, and I say, watch the apartment. Make sure that nobody steals anything. So let's say he knows when the mail delivery takes place. So a lot of times when they deliver the mail, I go downstairs. Let's say I don't live on the sixth floor. Let's say I live on the sixth floor. I would go down to the first floor and spend 10 minutes standing, carrying on a conversation with the mailman. What's new in the world, and then I go back upstairs. I don't lock all the windows, I don't lock all the doors and everything when I go down for 10 minutes. So what's the din? I have a shemachinam, and he's watching my apartment. Ask him, watch my apartment, make sure nobody steals anything. So he goes down. He does exactly the same thing as I do. He goes down and he schmoozes with the mail delivery, and then he goes back up and he finds out they emptied out the whole apartment. Somebody was watching when he goes every day to pick up the mail, and they emptied out the whole apartment in those 10 minutes. So is that called Peshea or not? So the Gemara says it depends whether he's a Shamachinam or a Shamasochar. Because what he did was not Tarkidit, not Tri Inshi. He protected, he was guarding the apartment like the Balabas himself would guard it. So Shamachinam is only a Gavra Bacharikoi. He's in my place, he's in my state. Not Mechuyev to watch more than I myself would watch. So since I myself would do that, every day I do that, I go downstairs for 10 minutes. I don't lock all the windows and everything. So if the Shamachinam does like I do, it's not called the Pshia. But if he's a Shamasachar, then not to get it Nadir Inchi is not enough. He doesn't have to be Moisa Nefesh, he doesn't have to go crazy to watch. But since he could have locked all the doors and locked all the windows, so for Shamasachar, that's called the Pshia. So the Gemara learns it out from this Pasuk. The Yank Mavina says, he was a shepherd watching the animals, and in the daytime he would suffer in the heat of the sun, and at night, and the kerach baloyla, sometimes it was freezing at night, and he would be very makpid to do his job. So the Gemara said, because he was salaried, he was paid money. So he was a shamasocher for the shmirah. The Gemara derives from this the difference between a shamachinim and a shamasocher. The Rambam quotes it in another context. The Rambam writes, Apoel mechuyev lavad in schiras poelim. One was an employee and he salaried money. It's mechuyev to be moisa nefesh. Shehare Yankev HaTzadik says, Ayis b'chayam achalani chorev v'kerach baloylo, because he was a poil. So the Achrayim talk about it. The Gemara said that this is a mocker for Shamasoch. What did the Rambam say? It's a mocker for a poil. So the answer is, it's Hanohach. The reason why there's a difference between a Shamachinim and a Shamasoch, because a Shamasoch is a poil. Remember once I submitted a Dvar Torah for the Beis Yitzchok, so I quoted this Rambam. So the editors touched it up a little bit. So they changed it. I quoted the Rambam's verbatim, the Rambam's Yankov HaTzadik. So they decided to write Yankov Avinu instead of Yankov HaTzadik. It's not my fault. I was quoting the Rambam verbatim, the Rambam's Yankov HaTzadik. The editors didn't look in the Rambam. So when I reprinted it in my Svarim, so I wrote it back Yankov HaTzadik. That's the Loshen in the Rambam. So the Achrayim pointed out, Machna Ephraim has like that. Machna Ephraim has an interesting din. I think Rabbi Kevegev is mitzayin it on the Shulchan Aruch. Machna Ephraim has an interesting din. There is a din, a poel, choyzeh ba'afilu be'emtza yom. Pasuk says, Kili b'nei yisrael avodim, and we darshim, v'lai avodim l'avodim. So the Gemara says, if you're a poel, you have a job, you have a right to quit in the middle of the day. I'm going to quit in the middle of the term, so I'm going to mess up the whole system over here. They have to get someone else to teach in my place, so you're not allowed to quit if it's going to cause a hefsid for the balabas. Let's say in the middle of building a house construction team, guy's going to quit in the middle, so then it's going to be delayed tremendously. So you're not allowed to quit in the middle if it's going to cause a hefsid for the balabas. It's not going to cause a hefsid. I tell him a month in advance, I'm going to quit at the end of a month, and I give you a month to find someone else. And maybe in a yeshiva, it's hard to get someone in a month. I'm replaceable anyway. So never get even forever. But if you give an advance warning, so that there is a pearl has a right to quit in the middle, that's the pasuk. Kili b'nei Yisrael avarim le'avarim le'avarim. What about a shomer? So there's a gemara in Kiddushin in the first perek. And the Rashba quotes the Ravid on that Gemara. The Ravid understood from the Gemara, a Shomer cannot quit in the middle. Shomer doesn't have the same din as a poel. So the Machna Ephraim has a Chiddush. What if the fellow was a Shomer Socher, and he doesn't want to be responsible for Gnei Vaveda? He wants to quit being a Shomer Socher, but he can't quit being a Shomer. But the difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Socher is because the Shomer Socher is salary. The difference is because he's a poel. And the poel has the right to quit. So he says the shamasocher has the right to quit in the middle to lower his level of shmir to be a shamachinim. So then he'll only be chayiv if he was poshea, but not the kedinatri inshi will be good enough for a shamachinim. But it's not good enough for a shamasocher. So Rabbi Kevege quotes this on Chayshe Mishpot, when the Shulchan Aruch has the sim that only has one sif. It's very unusual that a shamachinim cannot quit, So the Rebbe Kavega quotes the whole Machna Ephraim. He refers you to the Machna Ephraim. Hashem Masoch can't quit, and he won't be a Hashem Masoch, I'll be a Hashem Machin. He can't quit being a Hashem Machin unless the Baal Boss agrees, unless the Mopkid agrees. But he has no right to quit being a Hashem Machin, but he has a right to quit being a Hashem Masoch. In this week's Haftarah, we have the Pasuk, Neshama Farim Svasenu. We have an obligation to bring a whole bunch of karbonas, to meet him on the Sofim every day. You have to bring a Tom Shal Shachar, Tom Shal Ben Abayim. And on Shabbosim, Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, you have to bring the Sofim. So we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So the Nabi tells us, Neshama Farim Svasenu. When we recite the Parshas HaKarbonis, Mala Ani Alechem Kilu Hikraftem. That's how the Gemara, the very last Omid Beis in Megillah. Megillah ends on an Omid Aleph. So the last Omid Beis in Megillah quotes a whole Agarata that Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bama Eda Ki Hiroshana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him he's going to give merit to Saul. Then he says, Bama Eda Ki Hiroshana. How do I know you're going to keep your promise? So some opinions in the Medrash interpret Kipshuta was a chutzpah. Rama Bina says, "Bamu Aida, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? Maybe you're going to double cross me." So the Baruch Shalom says, "Yodah Teida Kiger Yezarach. You say Bamu Aida, I'm going to punish you." Yodah Teida. That's one opinion in the Medrash, and the Gemara doesn't understand like that. Bamu Aida Kiroshen was a legitimate question. He wasn't asking, "How do I know you're going to keep your promise? Maybe you're going to double cross me." So the Gemara says, "Bamu Aida." What mitzvah should I be careful about that in the schus of observing that mitzvah we should be entitled to hold on to Eretz Yisrael? So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kol le'egle mishuleshes v'al mishulesh v'sor b'goizol means b'schus ha'kravas ha'karbonis. So that the Gemara interprets the parsha by the Bris Ben Absor. So then the Gemara adds on, this part doesn't say in Chumash, then Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is nicha b'zman that there's a Beis HaMikdash of his man that there's a Het HaBomis. What's going to be in Tavshin Ches in 1948? The Jewish people want to control Eretz Yisrael. They want to make HaKomis HaMdina, and we're not bringing any Karbonis. So what chus do we have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So the Agarat and the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, recite the Parshas HaKarbonis, Amal Ani Alechem Kilu Hikraptem. And that's the Pasuk in the Shalma Farm Sosein. So the Rabbeinu Yoina has the commentary on the Rif on Brochet Ben Yoina, assumes that this is a real din deraisa. The Nabi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Neshama Farim Suaseinu. Zionists who hold that we have the right to hold Eretz Yisrael, they should say Karbonis every day. You only have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control if you recite the Parshas HaKarbonis. I know a lot of Zionists who skip the Karbonis. The concluding pasuk in the Haftarah is a famous pasuk: Ki Yisharim Da'ach Hashem Tzadikim Yochavam Ufoshim Yikosh Luvam. So the Nari Yehuda has a tshuva. Nari Yehuda originally lived in the same village with the Baal Shem Tov. They were cousins by marriage, and they got along together. But then, when the Baal Shem Tov started a whole movement, so then Nari Yehuda was not too keen about the whole movement. So he has a whole tshuva. He was unhappy. Why they say hinei mochan mizumah l'kayim mitzvah that mitzvah? He said that's against the halacha. The halacha is tamal lishman. First off in zochim, when you bring korbanos, when you do a bris milah, when you shake a lulav, whenever you do a mitzvah, we assume tamal lishman. So why do you have to say hinei mochan mizumah? As if you're demonstrating against the gemara. So he's opposed. So they tell the story that in Europe, not every balabas had his own lulav and esrig. When I was growing up, very few people, two or three people in every shul had a lulav and an esrig. Everybody would be yotze with someone else's lulav and esrig. They didn't have their own. This is a recent thing, that everybody, the Jews, have enough money to afford to buy their own, for each one of the children and so on. So the Nadiv Yehuda, the balabatim, bought an esrig and a lulav for the Nadiv Yehuda, and everybody came over like they do by the Chassidus Rebbe. They daven on Yontif until after Chazaras Hashatz. Then before they say Halal on Sukkahs, so the Rebbe goes to the Sukkah, because it says in the Swami you should bench Esrog in the Sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, probably means you slept in the Sukkah. Everybody sleeps in the Sukkah. When you wake up in the morning, you wash Negel Vasa, you shake the Lulav and the Esrog. First thing in the Sukkah. He doesn't think that it means you go to Shul, and you daven Shachris, after Chazaras Hashatz, everybody goes to the Sukkah, the benches. But that's what the Hasidim do. It's not like the Mishnah Berurah says, first thing in the morning, you shake the Lulav and the Esrog. So, but they do, but the Rebbe's, after Chazaras Hashatz, the Rebbe goes to the Sukkah, and shakes the Lulav and the Esrog, and the first 2 days of Sukkah, see, each Shalachem, so the Rebbe stands there, and everybody stands online, everybody takes it, takes an hour and a half. Then they go back into the shul and they say Hallel. And then they say the Kaddish Tiskabla Dan Hal. They finished Shasra 2 hours ago. They're saying Hallel. They're saying Kaddish Tiskabla 2 hours after the Yams. It's a little bizarre. But that's the practice by many. So the Nadi Behuda gave his Lulav and Esrog to one of the Balabatim, Atalam and Aslach, and the Balabat started to say, L'shem Yichu, Kod Shibirichu, Hidden in Mukhan Zom, and he said, I want my Esrog back. I don't want to give it you. It's against the din. So he has a little tshuva. Usually the tshuvas are 2 or 3 pages long. This is one paragraph. The whole tshuva is one paragraph. It has very few, very short tshuvas. So he says, it's against the din, and shouldn't do that. And then he ends off with the pasuk, Ki Sharm Dach Hashem Tzadikim Yochavon V'chassidim Yikosh Levon. So the typesetter, when he gave it into the printer, the typesetter didn't want to print like that. So he printed the pasuk like it says. So he complained. What did you do? I took the poshim, I made him into chassidim. You took the chassidim, you made him back into poshim. He complained at the typesetter. Why he changed it? But that's famous from the Nadi Yehuda on the concluding pasuk. That's the last pasuk in the Haftarah. Okay, I wanted to do a little bit Gittin, so we have 10 minutes, we'll do a little bit of Gittin. So Gemara, we're up to the Gemara. There's an institution of Kinyan Maimon Shloshtan, that's Midrabban Hilchas Abalei Taima. Fine. Yudalan Amanal. So the Gemara tells a story that a group of people rented farms from the landlord who owned the farms. And they paid him a fixed amount. Then they all made a lot of money. They sold all the fruits and vegetables that grew. And then they divided up all the money. And it turned out that one of the farmers, one of the sharecroppers, one of the people who rented the farm, has an extra $5, whatever. What are they going to divide the extra $5 among all the people? So he said the landlord was there. So he says in the presence of the landlord, he's going to give the extra money. That's instead of dividing it among all of the shutvim who are using all the farm, said he's going to give it back to the balabas. So Gemara says somehow there was a maimon shloshtan here. I don't exactly know. This part of the story is missing. Who's the third person over here? So there was a maimon shloshtan, and he said we're going to give. They all the shutvim, they all made up. They're going to give it. Maybe all of the shutvim. They all said, we're all going to give it to the landlord, give him a bonus, an extra $5 for renting all of us the farm. And then he made a kinyan chalipin, with the landlord. He's going to give him the $5. And then, before he gives him the $5, he counts his money again. Turns out that he made a mistake. He doesn't have an extra penny. So now he's going to be giving up $5 from his own pocket. He didn't mean that. So the Gemara says it's a kinyan bitois. Sure. So Tosfos has a comment. This is an important Tosfos. What do you mean? The fellow said on his own, Toisi. So we believe him when he says Toisi. No, you don't believe him. The Baladinim Ramoida, the landlord to whom they promised to give the extra $5, he realized himself that the guy made a mistake. He shows him he made a mistake. He doesn't have any extra money. Or it was the W. Adurbe, his brewer. Everybody knew. But the fellow himself, the Binapshei Tosis, says, he has a migu. So he says, no. He has a migu. He could have said, Paraiti, I gave him the $5. So let's believe him with Toisi, Bimigu, the Paraiti. So Tosis says, there is no, it's not a valid migu. Why is it not a good migu? So when the Rishonim quote this, either the Ran, I forgot, either the Ran or the Rosh, when they quote this Tosfos, so they say, because it's highly improbable, a person counts up all of his money, and he doesn't suggest, I'm going to give you, there's an extra $10, extra $5. He's not going to volunteer to give the extra money till it's crystal clear to him that there is an extra $5. So since it's highly improbable, this taina that he says, to'isi, so even a migu doesn't help. That's called migu m'mokam chazoka. The word chazoka has different meanings. That's what we always mention from the primigodim and the psicha hakolelis. So he points out that the word chazoka has many different meanings, six different meanings. Sometimes you have a chazoka means a rubid alayse kamon, chazoka al chover. A religious person is mafish trumas and maises all the time. He's not going to leave tevel around the house. Maybe the children will eat it without being mafish. So he's going to chazoka. Chazoka ein on the parei toks mana. It's a rubid alesa kamon. People don't pay up debts until the last minute. They're not going to pay up if they have the right to hold on to the halva another couple of months. They'll use the money to invest more, make some more profit. Why should they pay back if it's Adain lo higiyas man apiron? So the word chazoka often means rubi d'leisa kama. Then you have a chazoka karkas niknas b'chazoka. No go to reports, it's a kinyi chazoka. Then you have cheskas abatim, is the opposite from kinyi chazoka. If you're going to have achilas peris, it's good for cheskas abatim, but achilas peris is not good for kinyi chazoka. For kinyi chazoka, you have to have and all go to reports, you have to make some tikkun akarka. Then you have chazoka the meikora, status quo. Then you have a muchzok, the one who's holding on to money is a muchzok, and you say, motzim chaver levaraya. Then you have a couple of more chazok, six different. Then you have, how many times does something have to repeat itself? Two times, three times. Kamzim to have a chazoka, different kinds of chazokas. So the Gemara talks, the Gemara in Bava Basra, on the family base, the Gemara talks about the klal of migu b'makom chazoka. What if the person has a migu? Is contradicted by Ruba d'Leisa Kamon. Do we accept the migu or not? So there's a three-way contradiction. One Gemara says it is good. One Gemara says there is no good. One Gemara has a suffix. So which is it? Yes, no, maybe. All the three logical paths, but they're all three Gemaras. So Tosfos asks the kasha. Tosfos gives a doichik answer. So the Shach writes in Chosha Mishpot and the klali migu and Simet Pei Beis. Shach writes, the real answer is what the Nebuk Yosef gives. It's not the Nebuk Yosef on Bob Basu Daf Hamer Beis. It's somewhere in Bob Metzia. He quotes it. Migu Mamakam Chazok means that there is a Ruba D'Leisa Kamon contradicting what he says in the Migu. So what do you mean Ruba D'Leisa Kamon? How much of a Ruba D'Leisa Kamon? 51%, 61%, 71%, 81%, 91%, 99.99%. How strong is the Rav that's contradicting the Chazoka? So the Nebuk Yosef says it depends. Sometimes 55% unlikely. That's what Migu is all about. When you have a Rav that it's not true, so you believe with the Migu. If it's 95% certain that it's you guys telling a lie, the Migu is not acceptable. And if it's 75%, 80%, then the Gemara has a Sveka Dina. So there are different levels. Sometimes migu makom chazoka is good, sometimes not. What is migu all about? When do you need migu? So that people don't understand. What is migu all about? So there's a ran in Shavuos, the ran on the side of the Rif. Masechet Shavuos explains. If I come to you and I say, I lent you $1,000 and you didn't pay back the money, pay me back the money. So if you say, loy labisi, or you say, paraiti, that's called kaifer hakol. So there's a pasuk and chumash. Tosfos Bava Metzia dug up a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that if you cry for hakol on the most direct tainus p'tur, reasonably says lo lavisi, I don't know who you are, I never saw you before, I never borrowed a penny from you. He says lo lavisi, he says paraiti, I borrowed the money, I paid it back already. So that's neman minator, that's neman belishua, that's cry for hakol. If he says machalta, I said I lent you $100,000, you say machalta. Machalta? I'm a multimillionaire. I was moichel $100,000 to you. If I lent you a quarter and you say machalta, that's koifer hakol. You say on $100,000 machalta. It's highly unlikely. I'm not so buddy buddy with you. You asked me for a loan, so I lent you $100,000 on machalta. Or you say this chayavta li kenegdon. He says like this: true, I borrowed the money and I didn't pay it back, and I'm not going to pay it back because you crashed into my car, and the hefsid is, it's a wash. You owe me the same amount that I owe you. Punkt, exactly. I lent you $10,000, and so you owe me $10,000. Then you say, I crashed into your car, I crashed into your building, and the damage is exactly $10,000. That's highly unlikely. So then, it's unlikely. So then the Ran explained, then you need migu. If he says, I say, I lent you a nickel and you never paid it back, and you say, machalta, that's kaifa hakol. That's reasonable, kaifa hakol. But if the taina, machalta, is unreasonable, $100,000 machalta, you're not my child, you're not one of my children, why should I be machal $100,000? So if the taina is unreasonable, then you only nemu with a migu. That's what migu is all about. When there's a roiv keneged, it's unlikely that he's telling the truth. So that's when you need the nemanus of a migu. But if it's too great a roiv, then the migu is killed, and the migu is not acceptable. And sometimes it's an intermediate roiv. The roiv contradicts it, it's an intermediate roiv. So then it's an by the life sheet, the way do you draw the line? When do you say that the migu is good? It's not kofer hakol. Whenever there's a roiv against it, it's not kofer hakol. It's only nema b'toras migu. So if it's too strong a roiv, then that's what the shach says, be paskan lochel, like that, the muki yosef in Bob Metzir. So that's what the Tosis says over here. Tosis knew all along that the Seito Isi is unlikely. The guy commits himself to give the extra $5, and then he says later on, I made a mistake, I ended up wrong. It's unlikely. He wouldn't have committed himself in the first place to give the extra $5 to the balabos, unless he knew for sure that there is an extra $5. So that's where Tosis starts off in the very outset. When you say Toisi, and I want to back out, it was a mistake, there is no extra $5. It's not going to be Neman based on Koifer HaKol. It'll only be Neman based on a migu. But Tosis thought, it's a little unlikely, so migu is good. Then they come to the maskana, no, it's not a little unlikely, it's extremely unlikely, so therefore it's a migu, but makam chazaka, so the migu is no good. Whenever the migu is contradicted by a very strong roiv, that's the Nemuki Yosef's cloud. Whenever it's a very strong roiv, the migu doesn't work. Whenever it's a weaker roiv, that's what migu is all about. That's when you need a migu. And if it's something in between, then we're not sure where to draw the line. So that's an important thesis. Okay? Very good. This Shabbos, there's a Shabbaton to introduce the people to the different institutions in the neighborhood. So they're going to, Friday night, they have signs on Friday night, they're going to meet with the Dumber of a Rebel and the Dumber of a Shtiebel on Bennett Avenue. And then Shabbos afternoon, I'm speaking for the group at 90 Bennett. They're talking about Breuers. I think they're going to dive into Breuers. And Shalashudas, I think they're having in Mount Sinai. Somebody from the local Hatzolah is going to speak. So everyone is invited to participate.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.